Blog Talk Radio.
Come take a magical journey to the dawn of a new era. Unveil the mysteries behind the curtain with empathic healer Dawn Thompson.
All right, there goes the sirens. They're playing in the background. I'm Iggy Garcia, producer of With Insights Radio. I wanted to welcome everybody to the Gypsy Wagon with your host, Dawn Thompson, from Dawn of the New Era. She'll be on here shortly. She's running a little bit behind, excuse me. So I just wanted to hold down the fort until she gets here. But, yeah, the show has been on for good time now, and I'm pretty excited about it. For those of you who don't know Dawn, you can find Dawn Thompson at dawn/thompson.com. You can find her on Facebook, also /Dawn of the New Era. And Dawn's a good friend of mine. We've been working together on little projects here and there from time to time. But one of the projects we have worked on together consistently has been the radio show, and I'm always excited to have her here. And I'm going to take a look here on the switchboard, and I know we have other callers on the line, so just be patient, and we'll see where we go. I'm going to bring Dawn on, and here's your host. Welcome, welcome.
Hi, how's it going, everybody?
We're all doing great. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm here. I'm here for Gypsy Wagon. February. I can't believe it's February already.
Yeah, January took forever to end.
You were like, end January. I was just preparing for the show and kind of contemplating, a theme. And my daughter's been home all week with the flu, and she is feeling better today. But, of course, it's a snow day here in Columbus, Ohio, so she was going to go back to school, but she's home again. And she said, well, what? I was telling her about the show, and she goes, well, what are you thinking for today? I invited her to do readings because she does amazing readings. But, I thought, well, I can only speak to, as a guide or as a teacher, I can only teach, what I'm transmuting, what I'm going through, what's alive in me, unless I'm in channeling mode, and then I, can channel information, but that I don't usually remember. So there's kind of two ways that I work. One is, through the being a medium and just kind of a portal. And then the other is, life on life's terms when things are going. And to be honest, I've been in some sort of, for lack of a better term, a spiritual test. So I thought maybe we could kind of talk into that. And, I never really believed so much in that. I thought more, my belief is that we're all one spirit, we're all one soul, but we come here to experience separation and a unique expression of who we are and to connect with other expressions and have experiences. So for some reason, I've been wanting to experience a lot of the unknown. And so I would love to do a couple readings, but also I heard you say there was, several callers really kind of getting your take and other people's take on when there is extreme trying times. I've been told that you didn't cause it. You can't cure it. You got to witness it. And so, how to navigate that. And I found I really wanted compassion, which will probably allow me, as I work with people to have even more compassion, because I think what a lot of people need instead of someone trying to fix their problems or ignore and run from them is someone to say, I see you. Wow, you're really having a hard time. And I think that a lot of people, even when they're adult, I don't think adults get that, so kids get that, but why don't we get that as adults? It's like, man, I just need one person to say, that's really rough when you haven't had a car for 2 months and your car has been in four different shops, and that's really rough that nothing will go, smoothly. It's always constantly transmuting and challenging, all day long, every day for 2 months. And so, yeah, I would like to kind of explore that for February. I did hear that things are going to calm down and they're, you know, collectively, because I know it's not just me being challenged. But in life, on life's terms, you know, life is just challenging anyways. But how to stay positive in that and, yeah, so let's explore that. I can even pull some cards on that today, and then I'd like to get your take, Iggy, and if someone else has, you know, different takes on it. I mean, I've been, everything that I thought I knew has been challenged, you know, against, like, you know, stay positive or let go, or, you know, every time I think that it's going to get better, something comes in and just knocks the wind out of me. And it's been very consistent knocking. a lot of knocking.
Well, at least it's consistent.
I'm like, whew, okay, lesser people would have went insane. I won't go insane. I won't go insane. I won't. Not that there's a lesser of a person, but, you know, everybody's like, you're so strong, Dawn. I'm like, yeah, but why would I want to experience this? I already know I'm strong. I feel like I want to experience ease, but in some ways, I will tell you, I don't know why this test and my mentor, you know, she's kind of labeled it that. It could be that. It could be something else. But what I can say is it has, you know, I've been doing a mindfulness practice for 4 years, and it has tried to level me up on that. Like, I literally cannot expect what is supposed to happen at 3 o'clock to happen, because for 2 months, whatever's going to happen at 3, whatever, a doctor's appointment, work, project, anything that I have planned, it will change, and it will change every day throughout the day. So therefore, I have to stay mentally prepared to be like water. So I've embodied the water. I've learned to twist and turn, and apparently water never gets tired. It just goes down waterfall. You know, it doesn't care what's coming next. It just goes with it. So I've invoked the water. And the other major piece that's come in was that it wasn't just being in the moment and allowing, not judging, witnessing. Oh, the interconnectedness. So I've prided myself, as a lot of people get pushed to be, you know, individuals and be strong. Everybody's, oh, you're so strong, you're so independent. What I love about you is you're an independent woman. And what kept coming in, and the message I've been hearing lately, is interdependence. How the new era, like, I will fall, I will collapse. I literally cannot be independent without a car. I don't know how I'm getting to work today. So, you know, to be independent is one thing, but to be interdependent is the next era, part of the new era. So that is where it's not codependent, where you need people to do things for you that you can do for yourself, but it's the reality. I'm getting hit with the reality that I cannot do life on my own. I need to, you know, have support and guide. Like, I can't feed myself. Like, I need the grocery store. If the grocery store isn't there, it's going to be a rough time. And, like, the reality of interdependence is there. And there's a soothing piece to it. Like, it feels like, oh, that'll be, you know, it feels good to lean into people and rely on, you know, other people as they rely on me, and find some balance in that. So, yeah, the interdependency versus codependency or independent has been coming in. So that, and that's a new feeling. I mean, I feel like dependent is all I've known, you know, whether it be codependent or I'm doing it all myself, independent. So, yeah, let's kind of go with that. If that, and see where it goes, it might change. But I like that. I would like to explore that.
Good. Well, they said get on the bus, Gus, and set yourself free.
Oh, yeah. If I wasn't parenting, I'd be on the bus right now to Costa Rica.
Yeah. There you go.
I thought about it. I thought last night, I thought, well, maybe nothing is working out because I'm just a leave. I'm just supposed to leave everything and, you know, kind of start a new life. I thought about that, getting on the bus.
Can I play something for you?
Do it. Yes.
It's something from one of my tracks. I want to play it for you real quick, okay?
Let's do it.
Here we go. Just take a moment to just sit down. And to think about your last day on earth. Take this little journey with me. It's a beautiful spring morning. And today's your last day. Today is the day where you think about everything that you've done, everything you could have done, things you wish you had done. What kind of thoughts would come through your mind? Would you be satisfied with everything that you accomplished? Would you have regrets? Most people usually have regrets that they wish they would have done more, said more, or moved into a space where they were able to forgive themselves and others. It can be hard when we come to that place in our life to self-evaluate ourselves and wonder if we did everything to the best of our potential. You know, the old saying is everyone dies, but few rarely live. Where will you be that day on that spring morning? Reflecting and thinking about life and all you've done. I guarantee you most of us won't be thinking about all the money we made. Many of us will be thinking about our friends, our family, the people we love, the people we wish we would have loved more. Or we could have loved ourselves more. So you still have opportunity to move into the space and to do the things that you like to do in this life. It's guaranteed that we're all going to go back to the earth, back to the mother. What's not guaranteed and what's not set in stone is yet the things we can still do, the experiences we can still have, and all the beautiful adventures we can have. But remember, one day, you will be in that position to reflect on your life and what you've done. Will you be happy with what you did and what you accomplished? Here's an opportunity for you to say, I love you, to yourself, to those around you, those you haven't met yet. But we look forward, and one day we will come to that end, to that pass in the road, where we will reflect about our life and what we accomplished or what we didn't. Your last day on earth. How you experience it and how you live your life is truly up to you. Will you live or will you rarely live? There's my answer.
That's beautiful.
Thank you, Don.
I do feel like we know how to live. I know I've said it on other shows, but I got the gift of how to live from watching people I love on their last days, regretting. And so I can say that I constantly reflect on that. And I could see where it's helpful to go to that day. And it's also like the validity of whatever is happening now is like sort of separate. It is part of it, and there is like this separate part of it. There's this part where like I don't feel challenged. I personally don't feel challenged in living fully every day because of my experiences of watching, you know, my grandmother not live and my dad not live. I say what I need to say. I do what I need to do. You know, this is definitely this little experience I'm having, which will pass and I won't even know. Like, it probably will not be on my reflective spring day bedtime. But it is something very unique. It is something that I've never experienced before. But when someone says, do you want to jump off a 20-foot cliff in Peru into a waterfall? Oh, God, I do it. Terrified, I do it. If someone says, there is no regrets on my deathbed. I've already, if it was this spring, I'd be like, holy moly, I lived. I've been so terrified. Yeah, I've just done things that I'm sure, like, even Shay, she's like, I'm scared to give a reading on the radio show. And I was thinking about when you first asked me to do this, how I'd be sweating and shaking. But I do it anyways because I was very blessed to be given the gift of watching people in their last days. I don't know. Maybe that's the gift of getting to see people die versus, you know, how this particular culture hides it a lot of times, or people don't even come, you know. Like, I remember my uncles didn't even come and see my grandmother. They were too scared. What they missed was the gift, not only of saying goodbye, but also learning that you gotta, even if you're scared to death, you gotta come here. You gotta do what you come here to do. Don't hide from it. That's what I heard the most in your messages. Don't hide from life. Like, just do it. And then I also got this like softened place where my daughter, you know, who's home again today, is like, all I want is to play a board game today. And I had a feeling, she said that right before I got on the show, and I had a feeling that was going to be the most important part of my day. Even though it might not be my favorite part, it might be, you know, in my mind's eye, like, it is the most important, you know. In the end, I won't remember the money I made. I'll remember when my daughter, you know, my grown daughter was 12 and we played, you know, Uno or Scrabble together. Oh, that really softened my heart.
I'm glad it softened something in you. You know, I know sometimes we get like that, especially when we do the work. We can get into these places where we're, you know, we forget about ourselves. We talked about that on one of your shows. But it's kind of like our body, right? There's all the little intricacies in there that work together, and some of them don't work together, and yet they still have to find a common ground, because if they don't, they can't exist either. So that's what I try to find. That's like your daughter had the flu. You know, there's an internal battle physically in her other world that she helps create and support and sustain. I find it really fascinating.
Wow, yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, and mental illness is a unique aspect. You know, my family's riddled with it, and I mean, this time of year alone, I often struggle. February is the month I often break up with my partners. You know, I've had lots of relationships. February, boom, done. I'm done. I will start anew. I will, you know, I will live. I will have a new experience. I will not suffer. And not that I feel like doing that this February, but it is something to do, you know, with the brain chemistry too. So brain chemistry on top of the unknown. It's interesting because life is the unknown, right? We don't know. Now, when it comes to like, if an opportunity shows up, I know how to walk through the door. Like, that is something that I have courage for days. Mental stamina and sanity. I don't know. I mean, like, there's a reason why I can talk to dead people, okay? There's a reason why animals, you know, I don't know. It's like there's this little portion that, you know, I need some sort of interdependency. Like, I didn't grow up. I've gotten the pleasure to be around your family and like how, like, what it's like when you have it, what it's like when you have like someone at your back, you know. And I raised myself and I do a lot of stuff alone. So I guess that was the piece that's coming up, is like, oh, what's that like if I, you know, And I have been letting people drive me to work and offer, you know, offer support and help. And so this feel, that part feels great. And it's a constant asking. I just got to ask, you know, when I'm done with the show, got to ask, got to figure out. I've already asked a couple people and they couldn't do it, but how am I going to get to work today? And that's just every day, you know, and I'm sure that's a lot of people. So again, it's bringing me compassion for people who, you know, I've been blessed with a lot of, with having a car for years and years. So the fact that this one just is having a hard time being fixed, this is something unique. It's a unique situation. I won't go into the details, but I will go into, like, you know, what the chaos of the eclipses are like for other people. I mean, I like to hear specifics, like what we're in between. I was talking to Melissa at the House of Ohm, because that's this weekend I do my series of workshops, and I've been looking forward months for it. And I called her yesterday and I said, there's a good chance that we need to cancel, you know, that there's a small, I want to say small, there's a 50-50 chance that we might need to cancel all of these because, you know, when you're taking care of someone with the flu, there's a possibility you can get it. So I just wanted to put that out there. And she goes, should I do the email blast and tell people it's going? And I said, yeah, tell them, like, just tell them. We got to stay positive. So it's those spiritual theories of, like, what do we manifest, which I honestly think we don't have as much power as we think we do to make things happen. Yeah, we have the power to walk through that door to say yes to life so that at the end of our life, we're not like, man, I could have went out to eat. I could have spent more time with my family and I didn't, you know. And I'm like super curious about how much we actually, you know, make happen. Like how much are we our own creator? It's a super interesting topic that I'm sure could be talked upon on hours. And I've been curious about it since I was, you know, started my quest when I was 20, that whole free will and destiny. I have been trying to get to Costa Rica for years. Like I was willing to sell everything. I was, you know, and the universe was like, absolutely not. You're supposed to be in Columbus, Ohio. Now many people probably think if you want something bad enough, you know, Nike, just do it. You can get it. And I pushed hard to get there for years. I was like, I was supposed to be there. And it, you know, but there was a bigger something that needed me here and kept me here. So I don't know. I relax into that I don't actually, I am not as much of a God as I think that we all are. You know, we are little creators, but I also think that to some degree from what I'm noticing, and I've only been on Earth for almost 39 years. So I, you know, maybe in a few more years, I'll think differently. But right now what I notice is I don't think we have as much power as we think we do. I think we have the power to say yes. I think when something shows, you know, we can try something. If it manifests, it does. But I don't know. I'm curious about that.
Well, you know the universe. You say yes or no, it answers. Do I have a broken car?
But
yes.
See, that's the part that I don't think is right. Like, four different shops. I was given a loan. I mean, I said yes, too. I believed. I got on the road and watched it overheat three times. And each time I was like, oh, this time it works, you know, like with full heart and soul. So, no, I don't think that. I don't think that. Why? Because I think our yes isn't separate from other people's yes or no. So say it is more benevolent. Say Shane needs me at home and I can't, and that wouldn't be happening if I was driving or something. So like we're co-creating with other people. So the whole law of manifestation thing, I think we have a little bit off because we're thinking it's I, and it's not. It's not like if I go to Costa Rica, then everything, you know, I'm going to manifest it. But that affects the hundreds of people that I ended up ministering to. And this, in my experiences that I got, that people ministering to me, you know, meeting all these people that I've met, like that wouldn't happen. So even though I think that, you know, by me thinking and imagining and visualizing and saying yes and taking the action, I can make something happen, that's not going to happen if other people's visualization, manifestations, and needs are not, you know, if it's not going to help their evolution as well. So I think that's where, I think that's the difference in that.
Well, everybody's co-creating together. Yeah, I agree with you on there.
Yeah.
Even like the car manufacturer, yeah. There's people who created the car. They manifested it. It will break down. That way they can create jobs, they can create parts, they can create labor force. So there's other people manifesting too and creating in a whole different way. And I guess you can take your car breaking down for as an example. Well, maybe you're fortunate you weren't driving somewhere down the road and ended up stranded and, you know, or in an accident. So there, I mean, I guess how you look at it is up to you, truly. I mean, how you're going to see it and the aspect of manifesting it fixed or getting a new car. There's
right.
There's different schools of that. I mean, I agree with you, but you are correct. Everybody is manifesting. Yeah, everybody's co-creating.
This topic reminds me of this man at my Sangha practice, and I haven't seen him in a couple of years, but he read this poem at one of my meditation groups, and I loved it. I came up to him, I love that so much that he printed it out and framed it for me, and it's by Betsy Brandfast in 1965, and it says, kind of goes with your meditation too. These years, laid end to end, have led me on my present path. By what far-seeing wonder did I know to come this way? And that's it. I'll read it one more time. These years, laid end to end, have led me on my present path. By what far-seeing wonder did I know to come this way? Freaking blew my mind.
Like
it blew my mind.
Short and simple.
You really, it's simple, and it's like, as a little girl, in the trailer park in the country, I wouldn't have known. Like, what far-seeing wonder, how the heck did I know to say yes to the things I knew to get here? It's a miracle. When you told me, you changed my life by the follow the smoke, you know, knowing when you taught me about that saying, it's like, that's how I knew, is to follow it. Now, do I get to burn and control the smoke? I don't think I'm controlling the smoke I'm following. I think maybe sometimes the smoke might go into two paths and I get to choose left or right. But I don't think that I'm the one creating the smoke that I'm following, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Really?
You know what I mean?
How much smoke have you burned? No matter you. Here's the thing. In the shamanic path, intuitive path, you follow the smoke,
mm-hmm.
yes. Sometimes
yes.
You are the smoke. Okay, so there are people who are following the smoke looking for you. And it's just, life is really cool sometimes, you know, some crazy things come out of it. And, it, you know, here you're looking for your smoke and you're looking for your path. But the whole time, everybody's been looking for you because they think you have answers and they think you have wise words and wisdom. But it's really your experience and your memories and the things and how you navigated through that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're looking for. They're looking for a way to navigate their life through the experiences that you've had. So you are, and I, myself, are also burning smoke in the air, and people come to us. That's why people come to you. That's why people come to me. That's why, but we're not there. We're there to be their guide, kind of, I guess. We're like their spiritual
right.
guide at that moment. And they leave us. Sometimes they leave us, and sometimes they stay forever. And I don't know, but you are smoke. You are also the pillar. And you are also the answers for some people. And you may not even know what you've said. I have people who tell me, go, you remember when you told me that? And I have to literally, honestly say, you know, I don't remember that. But you did tell me this, and I remember that because I took that to heart and I believe it. And I said, well, then that's great. That's awesome.
I agree. You've done that several times for me. And I'm not negotiating against the fact that people have helped me and I've helped other people and the same thing. I burn smoke all the time. I'm burning it right now, burning the Palo Santo and the sage. I guess life could be so beautiful and amazing, and the guiding. You know, the only reason why I'm a guide is from the suffering. And there's something to, I was telling my partner last night, he was, you know, trying to fix, which is a lot of the, you know, the yang masculine energy. And I said, I need someone to say, oh my God, that is really hard. Because until, and that's a big lesson, is like, until someone understands, like, or says that they do that compassion, which I learned in compassionate communication. And sometimes you have to just give it to yourself. But until then, this world's not going to heal. Like until when people are coming and to me and they're saying like, or if I'm in a group and they're saying, I'm really suffering, like this is really weighing on me. Like until there is an acknowledgement of that you are suffering, that is hard for you, there isn't much of a transmutation into the positive because it has to be honored. I mean, that's the polarity of the world. There's the light and the dark and the up and the down and the cold and the hot. And like, of course we know, oh my God, I watch the guy on TV all the time and they're like, their biggest lie is that we've been taught we're here just to find happiness and bliss and pleasure. And I think that we are supposed to experience that. But I think when we evade, when I'm evading the suffering, and I even talked about it in my, you know, my online course, like I tried to be Pollyanna positive for 2 weeks and it was the worst 2 weeks of my life. And there's something to like still looking at the glass half full while honoring the suffering. I guess that's the teaching, the learning that I'm experiencing right now. It's like, how do you like constantly, a lot of gratitude lists every morning. I've been doing a gratitude list. You're like, wow, this. And at the same time, then people are battling with brain chemistry, chemicals in the food. We're having lack of communication and contact because of the weather. And oh my gosh, it's so much. So that balance of polarities of the negative versus the positive and like honoring both. So I had a cool discussion about that, you know. And I mean, obviously, like I don't want to be around, it's hard to be around people that just stay in the shadow and stay in the negative and are constantly complaining. And you know, I'm worried. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want to become one of those people, you know, just because
like
things
that?
Keep there are
oh, bless
at
their
least
soul.
In my perception. I know. Well, yeah, and then there's the seeking. I had one PhD lady I was working with. Her school of thought was that we can't control any of it and we just have to release into it, release, allow the suffering, allow the joy. But I never quite got the flow of what – I just got so angry. I was like, no, there has to be something I can do about suffering. I can change it, transmute it. Just like, no, you can just let it be. You can welcome it in like a warm friend. And I was like, what? How do you do that? That's weird. Have you ever done that when you're suffering? Like just been like,
well,
oh,
you know,
cool.
There's that old Zen proverb, before enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. After enlightenment, chop wood and carry water. I think that's what your friend was trying to tell you.
Ah. I've heard that a couple times lately. The chop wood, carry water.
Yeah, I hear it all
well,
the time.
Well, it's funny.
I'm finally getting it. I finally think I'm getting it now. I understand.
What does that one mean for you?
Well, it means that you're not constantly positive or constantly negative, and you're not constantly enlightened. You're sometimes in the shadows. What it means, even if you do have an enlightened moment, is which we have enlightened moments, we're still doing the things that we do. I still got to go chop wood and carry water. That means I still have to go to the bathroom, take a shower from time to time, or eat, or whatever. It doesn't make me better or worse. It just makes me more aware of myself in that particular moment. And that's why I was like, man, I saw that. Like, I've seen that quote so many times. And yesterday, I was just like, I get it. I understand. It's got to be me. And,
nice.
And that's it, you know. There is no magic. I am the magic. In my own world, in my own belief system. And so I'm starting to do all the things
nice.
I want to do.
Well, you're a very positive person. I don't think I've ever seen you, you know, in any kind of, like even with turmoil happening, you know, there's a very quick transmutation. You don't like feel,
Chopwood.
You know, I've never seen you like in a depression, a funk, sad, angry for very long. You're just like, phew, transmuted it. No.
It takes too much energy for me.
It takes a lot of mental energy. Yeah, yeah. I guess when someone tells me they're doing something and they don't, and they tell me they're doing something and they don't, I guess at some point you just got to let it go and go chop some wood and then I come back and then But it's funny, I keep shuffling my deck, and every time I shuffle the card deck for the reading today, optimism pops up on top. This yellow, sunny optimism. And that's come up for a couple clients in the last couple weeks, is like staying, you know, optimistic. I don't know what the difference between positive and optimism is, but it is like there's like radiating sunshine light color of energy that comes out of this card. It's really nice. All right, let me ask the cards more about these topics. They're so curious. There's so many different schools of thought, and it's so broad. All right, so interesting. So it's the cards are saying something about accepting, you know, the past. What's in there? That, you know, basically there's a restraint and caution around this animalistic nature. So like our survivalism, which basically that's what has been tapped into, you know, if it can't go to work, I can't feed my child. So that's like this, it's like a subconscious primal. And that's funny, work comes up right underneath that, restraint, caution, work, security. So like when security is threatened, in Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I learned in college, you know, you have to have shelter, food. And when those things are threatened, you can't actually work on the upper, or you can't embody enlightenment as well, or connection. And I can't remember all the tiers to the Maslow's hierarchy needs, but I do remember that really resonated. So solutions. Right in the middle is self-care, but let's see what it says about that. So the work is focusing on putting yourself first, which is interesting with interdependency, and staying positive, the optimism, moving the body ever so gently, doing gratitude. So all the things that I've been hearing are right on. And then yoga. So kind of stretching through moving and twisting out old beliefs, twisting out. It looks like, according to this reading, that we're having a big past life karmic wave of stuff. So accepting that, basically what I was, let me see what's underneath the acceptance, safety. Wow, safety, security, all of these are up. So that's being ignited in a lot of people, I'm guessing whoever chooses to listen today, that your safety, your ability to feel that more primal self is taken care of. And so what happens when that's not taken care of is, and there isn't a level of interdependency and safety in your world, is that an energy block is created. And we all know that energy blocks can create disease. So in order to keep that clear, just check. Okay, some breath of fire, which is a very cool breath. If no one knows, or whoever has done Kundalini yoga knows about the breath of fire, it'd be very hard to explain it. I haven't done it in a while. My Ayurvedic medicine doctor told me to calm down on my breath of fires a while ago. But it's a really neat, you kind of envision this fire in your belly and you pump. You do a quick breath and you pump it through. And it basically does burn up any blocks, any dis-ease. And it comes from right around that safety area. Sound is coming through. So some kind of belief system, which would make sense. You know, a lot of people in my family struggled to further basic needs. So ancestor lineage, spiritual sound, basically like, let me tap more into the sound card and see what that means. Cause it's kind of connecting the optimism, the self-care and the safety all together. Ah, okay. Thank you, Spirit. So finding some like chants, which is cool because I had Shay do a little yoga this morning now that her fever's broke, just to help clear. I heard Spirit say if you stay too sedentary, like when you're resting in bed, when you're sick, that it could settle in your lungs. So she was able to get out and do some stretches. And the particular online yoga piece that I picked has a little bit of chanting. So chanting, kind of clears the brain with optimism and the breath of fire. And continued self-care. And once that happens, there is like kind of a collective grief. So I'm guessing towards the next eclipse cycle, we'll have another wave of grief to release, which I never mind that. That always feels so good to still get that out when it gets stopped up. So yeah, breath of fire, remain optimism through chanting. I would jot that. I'm going to jot that down myself and practice what the February reading says. Have you done any chanting, Iggy?
Yeah, actually, I've done. That's a big part of the work I do. I did some this weekend at a drum circle in Chillicothe. There was some healings that needed to be done.
Ooh.
And did some chanting there. It was really beautiful. It was amazing. Some of it's traditional sing, and some of it's just what comes like speaking in tongues type chanting. Pretty amazing.
Ooh.
I love it. I love that stuff because it's so weird. Like I understand what it means. It doesn't have a translation, but I know the feeling, which is really cool.
When there's channeled chanting, you mean?
Yeah, when it's channeled, you know, sometimes you don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, but you understand it at a different level, a physical level, a spiritual level. Because when people come up to you and ask you, what were you saying? I said, I don't know what I was saying, but I could tell you what I was feeling and what was happening. Because there's no, you know, I really couldn't translate it. And our vocabulary doesn't have, you can't translate it into English. It's just, it's the feelings and the emotions. I have to describe it in that kind of fashion. And, you know, the universe is, I love the universe. I'm glad that I'm part of it. I'm glad that I'm actually here and that I'm part of this everything. It just blows my mind sometimes. I'm really goofy today for some reason. I must have shoveled too much snow.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of your needs are met too. A lot of your needs for connection, the spirituality, the chanting, your safety. It sounds like, you know, usually people can be at peace and happy when they have all their needs met. It's not all, but the majority of needs rather than wants. But that sounds, when you talk about the chanting, there's this part that I go to the trance studies in Clintonville, and we do what's called the singing shaman. So there's a mudra that we do with our hands, and then, oh my goodness, all these different sounds come out. And I could relate to the different languages. And a lot of people will come through with different languages. But I've had I'm like in the back of my consciousness, like that is a straight up from another planet language, like clicking. It's so healing. It's so cool. I love it. And some people will, you know, do the grief moaning. Some people are making animal sounds. And it's a neat experience. But the theory of that particular practice is that it's opening, you know, the portal so that we could go into the trance. And then I used to go with Alex years ago to Kirtan, which I found absolutely delightful. I fell in love with Kirtan chanting. Oh, my gosh. That was so fun.
I've done it. It's beautiful.
It's been a long time.
You know what's so funny about that? You can actually create something like that because they have it in, you know, in the way they do it. It's, you know, it's a repetitive thing in some of the songs, some of the chanting. So it's something that can be done. And I think sometimes we don't give it enough. We don't give ourselves enough credit because I've seen you do stuff. I've seen you chant. I've seen you just out of the blue. And I'm just like, why don't you just write that down and do that over and over again? Because it's really soothing and healing. That's what Kirtan is.
Yes, just over and over, soothing, healing. Oh, I listen to it on my SoundCloud, I'm on Spotify. I'm like, I'll just let them sing it to me. Actually doing or helping co-facilitate like some yoga and aromatherapy and stuff Friday night in Yellow Springs with my friend Melissa. And I've been working on the playlist, which has a lot of chanting, singing. It's a great positive playlist. It got me through some dark times last night. I was going, now I can either listen to Alice in Chains, Down in a Hole, or I can go with the soothing and the chanting. According to the cards, it's a good thing I went with the chanting. And the Kundalini yoga. I mean, it's been a while since I've done that, because normally I don't do that. Kundalini yoga can build up fire, so people who are already fiery and passionate, you can get overheated, yeah, and then the system can get not well. So, like, part of why my teeth, remember all those tastings I had? That was actually from being too fire, too pitta. My body was burning itself up. So, wow, when I found that out, I was like, I'll never do Kundalini yoga again. But apparently, you know, our body is just like the Mother Earth. They change, you know. There's winter, and in winter we need some warmth.
Bring the fire extinguisher, huh?
Yeah, bring that fire extinguisher. What are your next drumming activities planned?
My next drumming is going to be actually February 17th. It'll be, I don't have the location's not set yet, but it's for a grief drumming for women who were abducted, people who have been trafficked. So I'm doing group drumming with them. It's called the Butterfly. Aww. It's a group here in Columbus. And then the other one's going to be February 24th at the Reiki Center at 7 p.m.
Well, that's powerful. Did the women on the 17th get a hold of you? Or did
they
guys just find each other? Wow.
A classmate from high school actually saw my website, and she contacted me, and she was wondering if I could do it. And I told her, yeah, here's my references with Ohio Health and their grief programs and stuff. So I got to do that. And, you know, there's a lot of questions when you have to deal with things like that. We don't want to unlock and untrigger or trigger, and, you know, especially when someone has been abducted. It's probably... I've never had that issue. I've never had that, but I can imagine, you know, what I mean, just someone looking like somebody could trigger you and set you off. That happened to us
right.
In another group that when we went to do drumming, they had to ask some of the guys to leave the circle because some of the women were triggered by the looks of the men because they look like they're abductors. So we'll see how it goes. I'll report back to you and let you know how that works out.
Well, that sounds like powerful work, though. I mean, I could see where the grief, I mean, I really find that work to be very precious, precious work. Do some people start like just crying and moaning and releasing during the grief drumming? Or do they more focus it through the instrument?
You know, sometimes before they get to me, they've already had some kind of counseling, some kind of work, and some type of connection with other people. And I really don't – it's a mixed bag. The majority of the time, it's a celebration to remember, to release, to let go. So I give people the opportunity to scream, yell, dance, whatever they need through the process of drumming. And so I found that people just feel what they need to feel at any given moment during the circle. And we do the powwow drumming when we all drum together. We have fun with that. And then we do the journey meditation where we lay around the drum, our heads to the drum, and we take a little journey. And it's all self-healing, so they're all working through their process and doing and releasing what they need to release at that moment. But I've always had good reports that it's been good and it's been wonderful, and people who have already been to the circle have come back many times. The children come back almost all the time. Children who lost their parents or brothers or sisters or grandma and grandfathers. We learn so much from the little kids. It's amazing. It blows my mind when the little kids are like, they already know what you're going to do. They can almost teach what I'm teaching. That's how many times they've been there. And we're going to do this now.
Aww.
And they tell the other people who are there. So it's really cute, you know. So I have to change it up a little bit. He goes, Iggy changed it. It's funny. But it's cute,
adorable.
Though.
Adorable.
But it's been a beautiful, beautiful, you know, process. And I've been very fortunate, very grateful that spirit and the universe has asked me to facilitate that and to be present for that and to share my medicine and to channel whatever needs to be channeled, because it's not easy sometimes. It's not easy.
Mm-mm.
Very grateful.
I'm looking at the calendar for the drumming and the different events, and February definitely settles down. I think that this weekend is going to be absolutely magical, minus the, I mean, it shifted. For a while, it was like, oh my gosh, am I going to be healthy for it? And now that I know I am, I'm getting excited about doing that, having two Shakti shakedowns in 1 month. But anyways, I was looking at the calendar, and it looks like Shakti Shakedown is on the day of the solar eclipse this month. That's so cool. I'm noticing that
I know I've been like so working on me that I keep forgetting to do other things. I have to go out and do stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the only thing I like about winter is that we do get to calm and be internal, you know, and if I didn't, if I wasn't hosting the event, I don't know. Well, I probably would go, but because I'm hosting it, I'm like, I'm really only going to the things I'm hosting because it's just so cold. Everything's barren. It's the great void. It's the time to rest. And oh my gosh, my body loves the rest, but I do want to kind of ask and just put out there as well, because I know this is recorded about, so we have right in between, we just had the lunar eclipse and new moon. Now we're having the full moon. So just going to pull one medicine card on that to kind of, I mentioned this word earlier, the lion and courage, and I'm seeing the hawk here. So let me read that. This deck is so cool. It's called the Mystic Art Medicine deck, and I normally only really pull it for myself. It's kind of like my own deck, but I feel the need to read one for the eclipse because I haven't heard much about it. Have you? Have you done any astrology shows or anything learning about the...
No, I haven't heard anything. I only thought we had a lunar one, but I guess you said there's a solar one coming, so...
Yeah. I didn't know until my friend was like, oh, yeah, we shouldn't have had all the, you know, it's going to be an intense time. Let's see. I'm not seeing any reading about it, so I'm just going to look here and see, because Animal Totem came up. So we've got like a horse medicine. We've got hawk medicine, which maybe you know more or some about. We have like this old wisdom keeper, and he definitely looks more native to North American ish and he has both a moon and then a darkened sun, so we've got the polarity. Now the hawk on top of the tree of life on his head is looking towards the moon, so more the feelings and the mystical side. It looks like the sun. Well, that's crazy because it's a partial solar eclipse, and literally in this card, the sun is just darkened. It's not its bright usual self. So power, courage. He has a lot of. I see a buffalo in here. Let's see what else I see. It's interesting because in the actual book, the page for courage is just missing. It's just gone. This is a fairly new thing book, so that is hilarious.
Really?
Just like, yeah. But yeah, I guess embodying the totem. I mean, those are some pretty powerful totems. The buffalo, the horse. The hawk has been coming through for healing for a while. I do see like some arrows, some battling. Mostly internal. I see a lot of the water that I was mentioning earlier, body and water medicine. But the interconnectedness, it's like the tree is on top of this man's head and the roots are his hair. So it's a pretty powerful image.
That's cool.
Basically, mentioning that, you know, we have to be courageous and I guess not subscribe subscribe to anything. And then the other theme, and people are going to think, might think this is kind of kooky, but it came up in the reading too, was like romance. So I know a lot of people get a little like, I'm not going to be romantic just because we're told to be romantic. But on some and on some collective level, we've kind of decided that this was a dark, barren time where we're in the void, and that, you know, I'm personally glad that whether anything happens or not romantically, that this time period is placed in between the solar eclipse of, you know, Valentine's to embody some type of honoring of that type of love. Because I'm really big on the other types of love, but romance is, it's a sweetness. And what the cards were saying earlier was that you can romance yourself. So it was next to the self-care, which I found was interesting. So you can really, like, if you've ever seen that one show, Treat Yourself, there was a whole episode of Parks and Rec that was Treat Yourself, and it became a big popular. So I'm hearing give yourself a treat in the next, you know, week or so if you can. Yeah, don't expect other people to, like, you know, constantly do that for you. Go ahead and treat yourself, and but also receive if someone wants to give you a treat. And I'll go ahead and take a picture of the Courage card and put it on my Dawn of the New Era. So if anyone wants to look at it, they can kind of go into it because there's a lot of detail in there. And maybe people can have their own interpretations of courage. One of my tattoos is for courage. My mom said, well, You can be scared to death and do it anyway. So she, you know, kind of also put that lesson in my head, like, to be scared but do it anyways, that's courage. And then she told me faith was the belief in what we can't see. I can either believe that in, you know, the imaginary good things or the imaginary not good things. So I get to, we get to choose which we want to look forward to and embody, which you were speaking to earlier. I guess we didn't get any callers on the topic, did we?
Well, we have callers. I just didn't know if you wanted to take any. So.
Oh, well, we could take one before we end if you want.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, you're on air.
Excuse me, hello. Yes, I was listening on and off. I apologize. Were you taking questions today or just questions on today's subjects?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for, like, people's insight, experience, strength, and hope on, like, when you're going through hard times, like, you know, how you stay positive in it. If you have, if you want a card, I can pull you a card as well.
I'd surely appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Give me one moment. I'll go ahead and start shuffling. All right, so you get the acceptance card, which also came up in the reading earlier, the collective reading for everyone.
Yes.
You know, the serenity prayer is really good for acceptance. I know I've been saying it almost as my chant or mantra, so chanting and mantras came up as well. You know, you can say God, you can say goddess, universe, you can say higher power, but grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that is part of, you know, the worrying or, you know, whatever your question may be. I mean, it's just a mini reading, so we're not going to go into a full question, but what you could do is really just do an actual literal inventory of, like, can I change my job right now? What do I have to empower about, you know, my relationships? A lot of times we care so much, and I can sense that you're a compassionate and a very strong person, and that sometimes our compassion, yes, I do want to not acknowledge that in you. And sometimes when we're really compassionate, we have people we love and we want to fix their suffering for them and we can't. So there's some things that you can do, some boundaries you can set, but all in all, I think there's just a little shift needed for you and where your focuses are simply through that mantra of what can you change? What can you turn over? And when you're turning over, you know, something like, I apologize, everyone, for making it so hard that my car for 2 months has been in the shop 4 times. But, like, in that case, it's literally, like, when something keeps happening and it's just not fixing, two insurance claims, you know, and then two faulty phones after that, you just turn it over. You just pick up the person or the object. And I recommend, you know, placing it in the hands of an angel or Isis, or you can even put them, you know, place the situation, person, place, or thing, you know, into the care of a gorgeous temple, or tuck them in bed, you know, whatever it is. Visualization techniques are really helpful for the things that you can't control, you can't change. And we can't change adults. That's the thing. I mean, we can't really control or change children either, but we can, you know, we have some bit of control over smaller kids. But when some of the stuff you're dealing with, you just don't have any power over. And that's, it takes a lot of courage to acknowledge that and to say, what do I have power over? Oh, myself. Okay, I'm going to, you know, do this, this, and this, and this for myself. Now, the one last piece I'll mention for this card is that you do have the power to use your voice. So you can't control the outcome, but when it comes to the situation and the people that you're dealing with right now, you just have to be as clear, have your courage, because the courage card came up, and you have to have a very frank talk with someone. And it's not, you know, it's really a lot of I statements. And first you have to go through that acceptance that they might never change, that they just might be the way that the situation might never change for them. But you got to set your, you know, I am experiencing this through this situation, and just, you know, not anything that they need to change, but what your experience, and then your boundary. And therefore, I will no longer be giving this amount of money on this date. So the more specific you can be, the better.
Right.
And I know it takes courage. So, but what do you have to lose is what your guides are saying. Just go ahead and, you know, give it a go. Specific, it's a practice.
All right. I more than appreciate your time today and for taking my call.
You got it. Thank you. Thank you for your kindness and bravery in the world. Have a great day.
Mm-hmm. And we are out of time.
All right. Well, that was a perfect thing to end with, was the Serenity Chant. That's one of my favorite little chants. So I will connect with you soon, Iggy, and I just want to let everyone know there's a couple more openings. If you go to Om Yoga or houseofom.com, you can just call the studio. I have a few more openings for my workshops then, and of course, all of my other events are on don-thompson.com, and I would love, we didn't get a ton of, we didn't have enough time because I was jabbing my jaw and doing the readings, but I would love to hear more about people's different, you know, belief systems through spirituality, religion, or just life on, you know, surviving life on life's terms when there's not a huge support network at your back, you know, when you are, which is kind of this culture, like, be everything, be the teacher, mm-hmm. be the healer, be the parent. And, you know, it's really unfeasible to be all of that to everyone. So, like, how do people, you know, what's awakening in people with that, and how are they transmuting it or acknowledging it or allowing mm-hmm. in more support? And so, yeah, if we could post about that, either, you know, I'll probably post a copy of the show on my page usually, or just get a hold of me and let me know, and maybe we can cover it next time. But thank you so much,
Iggy. Let's do a Facebook Live next time, and we can get on there and ask people questions there. Seems to be a nice
good idea.
Flow. All right, let's talk about that offline soon.
Okay, sounds good. Namaste. Have a good one.
Namaste to you.
Bye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
You must fear the force around you.